Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Bicycles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Brandy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, we find out exactly what an octopus sunrise tastes like. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
With us, they're not just brothers, Jordan.
That's no reason to have people on our show because they're brothers.
It's something I'm not going to say, Jordan, that we haven't played with the idea of doing a show where we invite brothers
to
talk about their experiences. It's sort of like a StoryCorps type thing is how I imagined it being. We'd drive around the country in a recreational vehicle, set up with a studio inside. Brothers would come in, talk about their experiences.
Because, you know, I've always said this, and I think you're with me in this ethos, is that, yeah, big budget movies are good for some people, but what I like is stories from real people.
Real people, real That's Americans. That's what I like. I call it fraternal life.
Sure. You can have your Independence Day, Wild Wild West.
Sorry.
I'll take a story from a migrant farmer any day.
Absolutely.
That's the real blockbuster.
If he's got a brother who's there.
Right.
We're not just going willy-nilly.
No.
They're not just brothers. They're also gifted actors who have appeared in many films, television programs, and in their own internet television program, which is called Back on Tops. They've released stand-up comedy record albums, recordings of their stand-up comedy act. They also do stand-up comedy.
Sure.
The Sklar brothers, Randy and Jason Sklar, or specifically from my perspective, Jason and Randy Sklar.
That's right.
Thank you for clearing that up. Thank you.
I did not want people to get, they got this stereoscopic view of what's going on
in
this
program.
No,
it's a great intro. I loved it.
Thank you.
I want to see that movie about brothers.
About brothers on the run, on the fly. I think you should just interview brothers that have had country music careers. The Statler brothers,
sure.
the Gatlin boys.
The Oak Ridge boys.
The Oak Ridge boys, although not
brothers?
Really. No, just people from the Oak Ridge Mountains.
Oh, okay.
But I think they're all kind of related.
Breaks our premise,
they are
though.
Related in some way, down shape, there. Or form.
Would you say they have a brother-like relationship?
No, but I always, like the Oak Ridge boys always feature, yes, I would say that.
Yeah.
But
no, nothing.
No, not at all. But I do think like the Oak Ridge boys was designed for the deep voice.
Real quick, Randy, can I ask you this question? Is anything that I say ever right?
No.
Yes.
I answered for you, Randy.
Yes, of course.
A lot of things.
Well, you
say
posed
right.
It as a question, so it was neither right nor wrong until
okay.
I.
Is
okay.
anything you say rhetorical? That's the real question.
And that's rhetorical.
And
so please don't answer.
Jordan, there's something we need to get out of the way at the top of this program. This
sure.
is something you guys aren't party to. We're happy to hear your two cents, but you know, I don't expect you to understand the kind of the feelings that are going on here, just the shit that is coursing through my veins right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And my heart is just pumping it. Lub-a-dub, lub-a-dub, lub-a-dub. This stuff that's going on right now. Do you ever think about big questions, Jordan? I mean, like, big questions. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure. Like, you know, why do good things happen to bad people? Oh, no, I don't think about those.
Man's... Okay. This is something that I've been thinking about lately.
I try not to.
Who can you trust?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's a good question.
Who can you trust in this world?
That's a great question.
You can trust Jason Statham to deliver an action-packed blockbuster, right?
He transforms on screen.
He does.
Transforms.
He transforms in order to transport.
He transports.
Transformation is necessary for him to properly
You can't
transport
until you transform.
Right. He's doing wonders for action stars who are losing their hair. I thought it was done with Bruce Willis.
He's doing wonders for people losing their hair.
He really is.
If only he'd play a little rock harmonica at like a mall opening or something.
That guy is designed to be on screen with his shirt off. off, but still wearing a pair of pants.
Yeah, sure.
Like he's not always like
dress slacks,
pants. Dress slacks, dress like a slacks. Pair of, you know, maybe Capizios,
wingtip
shoes.
He's got some Capizios in case he has to do some jazz dance.
You don't know. No, because if you kick someone's ass in Capizios, it's far more humiliating. Like you drop a Tommy Two Tone on someone's face, and it's just it's like you didn't just beat someone up, because anybody can beat someone up with like a steel toe boot, but like if you do it in like a nice pair of like 80s style dance shoes, you're basically just saying like I can beat you with anything.
So Jordan, I believed in humanity. I believed in a Jason Statham.
Sure.
Why you know what you? I mean, Jordan? I believed that
man's consistent.
That you could, that if somebody told you something, it was true until they were innocent until proven guilty, Jordan. Mm-hmm. I believed that man was essentially good, particularly with regard to calling into podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Until
I knew another foot would drop.
A stream. I'm leprotic. Mm-hmm. I have leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why my feet keep falling off.
the other foot is always dropping with you.
You're diligent about reattaching
the
other
shoe.
Well, a shoe is going to drop in a foot. Okay. So
the shoe drops into the foot?
No.
So this is a shoe that wears a foot.
That's right. It's a very special
shoe. This is like a Yakov Smirnoff type situation.
It's a shoe that wears a foot.
What a country. If you ever had a shoe lodged in your foot, you know
how difficult that is.
It's
and
so painful.
The last time I had a shoe lodged in my foot was when I went out to dinner with Jason Statham. So.
And he kicked you in the foot.
He literally lodged a shoe
it
in
was
my
specifically,
foot.
It was a Capizio.
And he kicked his foot's ass.
He was doing some of the most emphatic jazz squares you've ever seen entire life.
I think your mistake was going out to that Italian family style restaurant.
You know, exactly. Him. Anytime you have to share a meal with him, he gets very territorial.
It's kickball chain right into your foot.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago on this program, 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago on this program, we set out a request to our listeners. Call in and share amazing prank stories. Okay? And we ask that people not say a prank that they had experienced, that they had perpetrated themselves, because that just comes off as you're being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted pranks that were so amazing that just seeing them or even having them happen to you mm-hmm. was, in retrospect, delightful.
Yeah.
That's the bounds we put on this thing. Maybe what we also should have said was also, don't lie to us. Mm-hmm. Don't try and bullshit
sure, don't
us.
Just make up something for you and your friends to snicker at.
It turns out one of the pranks that we played on our program as verifiable fact that I checked with my faith in humanity before I played this. My faith in humanity said all systems go.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit. Bullshit, Jordan. Now, I'm not going to go into another expletive-laced tirade like I did on last week's program. Sure. Last week's show,
Let it rip.
I freaked out, okay?
All right.
I freaked out. And I'm, it was like it was a real Artie Lang on Stern thing. Mm-hmm. If my assistant had been here and not picking up my dry cleaning, I would have hit him. Okay?
Yes.
But.
Yeah, you really went off on a lot of weird tangents, too. That's all that stuff about Arby's. I had no idea you felt like that.
Look.
Do you know that you know what Arby's stands for?
What?
It's the letter RB, roast beef.
Oh.
Arby.
Holy shit. Is that
exactly, right?
Wait a minute.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah, Jesse, do you like it again?
Are you back on board?
Arby's.
Here's the thing.
Arby's.
In a normal situation, I'd be right back on board when you told me something amazing like that.
What if I told you you could get 12 roast beefs for $3? That's what they're offering now. 12 roast beef sandwiches for $3.
I don't believe in anything anymore.
Okay.
That's what the problem is.
But
here.
Wait. Whatever size car you're driving, they will fill it up with roast beef sandwich.
$3.
Look,
if you have an Astro van, it's
we'll
a better
value.
We'll give you
a Pinto's hatchback worth of roast beef for $3. Everything is $3.
That one's from the archive.
Yeah.
They're bringing it back.
You need to find a Pinto. Yeah. We'll fill that hatchback full of roast beef.
If you bring us a Gremlin, you're out of here.
No, we're not going to take it. A Pacer, not going to happen.
Forget it.
Must be a Pinto.
Wait, but isn't that the greatest prank of all? That they pranked the prank situation? I mean, can't we appreciate that?
It's a little too meta.
Look at me in my eyes.
I'm looking.
Last week on the program, we have a segment called Momentous Occasions. Last week on the program, someone calls in, said, my cousin's son.
Already, that was a red flag. We probably should have noted that. A story that starts with, I heard this from my cousin's son.
I don't think that I should have to think about what is and isn't a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, for example, right now,
it's a new
Jason Sklar is wearing eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that a red flag? Is he hiding behind them?
No, he's got astigmatism.
What about this? Randy Sklar is not wearing socks, I don't think.
That's right.
Looks like he's not wearing socks. Should I not believe his Arby's story?
Because of the no sock policy?
We were told
a sock full of roast beef sandwiches, $3.
We were told
half of a sandwich.
We were told that this cousin's son had stolen a penguin from an aquarium by putting it in his pants.
We sound like assholes. Of course this is a lie. Relating it back.
Sure.
Now,
they're very easy to...
They're
never behind glass.
They're not in specially temperature-regulated habitats. They're just walking around.
Totally comfortable with being in people's pants, too.
That is, by the way, the storyline for Happy Feet 2.
Happy Feet 2, penguin in my pants.
Penguin in my pants.
I got an email here. Hey, Jesse. Just wanted to drop you a line and tell you how crappy I feel about the fallout from the bogus penguin story. This story is not only bullshit, it's such bullshit that it's on the internet as bullshit on a website that lists bullshit stories.
Oh.
That wasn't from the letter, that was my editorializer.
Right.
As a new listener who had already offended your sensibility by voicing my distaste for Wet Hot American Summer, which was his first post on the message board.
That he doesn't like Wet Hot American. That's suspect to me.
You might as well just come
in shady character
and say that you don't like Pootie Tang on my message board.
Why would you?
Okay.
Stop it.
I was appalled with myself upon realizing that I had been apparently duped by an urban legend. I know the growing epidemic of bullshitting you've been hit with in recent calls. He's aware of the situation, and I can honestly say I did not intend to contribute to said epidemic. I forward the Snopes article to my cousin, who immediately called bullshit on her in-law. Turns out it's her cousin's in-law. Apparently I wasn't paying enough attention to the layer of depth of bullshit.
Like eight people removed.
Mm-hmm. Until he can produce photographs of his son, and the longer it takes, the more Photoshoppy it's going to seem, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I am officially declaring my own story bullshit, and I throw myself upon the mercy of episode 86. Now, episode 86 is this week's episode.
Which, by the way, the significance of
something.
This episode.
I just hope I don't catch too much shit. Love the show. Keep it up. That's one of our popular catchphrases. Dane Yacko.
Love the show. Keep it up. Wow.
Rip it up.
Now piss on it like you're doing.
Dane Yacko, the Dane Cook. Yeah. Of calling people to radio shows.
His calls are as bullshit as Dane Cook's so-called comedy. It's just a bunch of fucking gesticulation with no punchlines.
A lot of pomp.
A lot of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of attitude.
It's a fucked up world.
He has that headset mic, though.
This is a fucked up world, Jordan.
Sounds like you just grew up a little today, Jesse. You just realized.
It's like learning that your parents have flaws.
Yeah.
You know?
Or that they're the tooth fairy. I'm sorry.
Oh boy, come on, Jesse.
There goes another.
You got to ease him into this, man.
He opened with "I don't like Wet Hot American Summer." That's like, that's just so. That is literally like walking into a Japanese house and like with your shoes on, running all over the furniture,
or walking to a Japanese restaurant and having your sushi and calling the waiter over and going, "You know what? This is my stuff is cold.
It's undercooked.
Send this back and cook it up.
It's undercooked."
And then killing everyone in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that.
Stealing a penguin from the aquarium inside that restaurant.
Right. You know, I know my friend's cousin's in-laws, the kid did this. There's photos of it. No, there isn't, because it's fucking
it's not bullshit.
It's
not true. It's not true. My cousin's in-laws.
God.
Do cousins don't even have in-laws?
They shouldn't.
They don't.
That doesn't even exist. That's not even a thing.
Your cousin should not be married, and their parents should
cousins
not.
Are like 9, 10, 12 years old.
When you think cousins, you're thinking
young.
Young. You don't think of people who are...
The situation is so... I can't even count... On two hands, that's 10 digits, how fucked up this situation is.
Because it throws into question your ability to trust people. I can't believe that wasn't thrown into question by the last 8 years of this president. But I mean, that it took one penguin in the pants to...
We don't pay attention to politics this or is world not a, events.
Look, this isn't some kind of political... Sorry, Lenny Bruce.
Look, I deliver that straight on. I was not turned around, so that was a, face-on delivery there.
But what is it a metaphor for? That's what I'm asking. What is the penguin in the pant? Like, in today's society, what's going on right now? Is it this economic stimulus package? Is that the penguin in the pants?
Is
the penguin? Like, it becomes like a I think you should take the situation and make it
turn this into a phrase that you
can use. Like, when you don't trust someone or something seems a little fishy, that's the real penguin in the pants, right?
That
there.
Seems like a penguin in the pants.
That's a penguin in the pants. Like,
are the penguin in the pants
of
here?
This? The penguin in the pants here is
X
is. General Motors asking for only $25 billion.
You know what I see here?
I don't trust it.
And I think that a lot of times when we're in a difficult situation, like a situation where we're struggling with our morality, our worldview, where do we often turn? Art.
Sure.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Art. I know... That art is something that you can believe in. Art cannot lie because it's an expression of our inner selves.
Subjective.
Exactly. I think we open this one up. We take this can of worms.
Right.
There's worms everywhere because we're opening this up to the audience.
We're saying we're going to take this disgusting can of worms and somehow fashion it, mold it. Into a delicious Arby's sandwich.
I need artistic expression of the penguin in the pants.
Like a song or
I'm talking about song. I'm talking about visual art.
Poem.
Poem.
An erotic dance.
This is a call to action. Nay, an action item, Jordan.
No.
This penguin in the pants... Is the new Del Monte fashion piece.
Is the penguin in the pants of this penguin in the pants situation is how do we know that these people are actually producing what they're
creating?
That's really fucked up, Randy.
You know what I mean?
I don't mean to
question it all from a meta point of view.
Well,
but
yeah, if we keep going, like, are we even sitting here? Is this a microphone?
You have to ask yourself those questions.
What is the penguin?
What is the penguin in the pants?
This is some sophomore year of college shit right here.
Look.
And then maybe the penguin in the pants.
Maybe it is.
I feel like I'm getting my shit back together right now.
Good. Corral it.
I didn't freak out. I didn't flip. I thought I might flip, but I did not flip.
You flipped a little bit, but you're good.
No, I did. I'm cool.
All right.
If I had flipped,
we would have known it.
We would have known.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be saying you might have flipped. We would have been
I did not flip. I kept my shit together and I took this pig in a poke, turned it into a penguin in the pants.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, now we're just saying penguin in the pants randomly.
No.
That's not. Let's just not start saying it for no
reason.
Let's
use it in the correct context.
Let's agree upon how to say.
Really, it's a situation where you don't trust someone, and then you just took it and made it like a bad situation that causes you to flip out.
Yeah. Look,
like the penguin in the pants.
Look, like at lunch, you're just going to take a bite of something and say, penguin in the pants.
This is
wait, no. But Now, if you open it up and they put, you ask them to put pickles on it, they did not put pickles on it. That is a real penguin in the pants because you trusted them to do it. You open it up. Isn't that a penguin in the pants?
I'm keen.
No pickles.
I'm keen to learn about what our listeners, our many thousands of listeners, will make of this artistically. Because I know that there are a lot of gifted artists out there, people who are good in media like novelty songs, in media like Microsoft Paint, in media like...
Nice.
Erotic dance.
Erotic dance. Burlesque dance.
The lost art of burlesque.
In media like animatronic animals with bookmark tails, we learned during the holiday contest. This is something that I think we can take a penguin in the pants and make it a bird in the bush.
That's right. A penguin in the pants.
That is, if it is a woman, penguin in the pants. A woman putting it in there.
This is what I would say. And this is what I would say. You can make of this what you will.
Randy, let's hear it.
A penguin in the pants is worth two in the blouse. Yeah. And I feel like that's always been my credo.
Great. Well, I think it's settled then. This is, we're taking it, we're transforming it into art using our various creda.
Credum.
And et cetera.
I think it's crudité.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm disappointed. We've got the Sklar brothers with us, by the way. And we encourage you guys.
Wait, if you just left it at that.
I'm disappointed. I've got the Sklar brothers with us.
That's it.
And then we both fell asleep in our chairs.
Yeah.
We encourage you guys, if you'd like to make, there's a website called jjgo.org. We do not run this website.
Who runs it?
Some internet weirdo.
Hampton runs it.
Okay.
His name's Hampton. He's a Canadian named Hampton.
All right, there.
He runs this website. It's a repository of Jordan Jesse Go information. One of the data points is when a guest host appears and what the guest host's nickname is. We encourage you guys to develop, over the course of this program, your own nicknames.
Yes.
So that you can introduce yourselves in the manner that to which we've become accustomed.
Great. We will. That's in the back of our minds. We're working on it.
I was disappointed, Jordan, last week that while some people did find some clips on the internet of the crazy Japanese video game, I mean the crazy Japanese television program. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. There's a crazy Japanese television program. That seems in itself far-fetched.
Excuse me.
It's only come about recently.
It's really tame.
It was short-lived.
The programming over there seems to be really tame and not knee-jerk at all.
Yeah.
knee-jerk? Is that the word you were looking for, knee-jerk? What would you say that the craziness is a reaction to?
It's a reaction to people's need, wanting to
win the super happy luck prize.
Okay, gotcha. No one managed to produce a clip of the segment where the guy goes around asking people to show him their thumbs. And then he goes, yeah, well, they do it. Okay? That has not been seen, and I still encourage – I'm asking that people go out and do this. There was someone who found a clip of the Gang of the Gang of 100. The Troop of 100. Mm-hmm. Which is a segment in which 100 people run down the street acting scared and see what happens. It was pulled from YouTube by Japanese television, who apparently feel that the fact that this is on YouTube is biting into their United States DVD revenue for their Japanese language show not available on DVD in the United States.
Of course.
Great.
However,
gotta protect yourself.
The good news is this. Someone came through for us, okay? Months ago on the program, we asked people who lived in foreign countries and listened to their program to send us their strangest foodstuffs, and we would eat them. A few weeks later, we asked them to stop sending us foodstuffs. We were getting too many foodstuffs in the mail.
I had gotten several parasites as well.
However,
which, by the way, is a delicacy mm-hmm. in Venezuela.
Parasites. A not unusual thing to do on this program. Listen to an old show, call in to an action item on an old show as though it were a new show, not understanding that we've moved on.
Love it.
A young woman listened to that old program where we asked people to send in food from foreign countries, went out to the store, mm-hmm. bought some crazy shit mm-hmm. in Japan.
There you go. Again, not seeing it, but I'll take your word
then, for it. Then listened to our show where we asked people to stop buying stuff and sending it to us, emailed me and said, what should I do with this stuff? I already bought it. I said, send that shit. Mm-hmm. Right?
Send that shit right away.
What are we going to do? Not eat it?
No. It's from Japan. It's crazy.
We should probably put it in our mouths.
Number one, she has sent us some Nippon Ginkgo money. This is 1,000 yen. I think that's like $10.
1,000 yen. I think
that's a fair volume of, maybe it's about 80 or 100. It's about 100 yen for a dollar, I think.
Maybe.
This is about 10 bucks worth of money, this Nippon Ginkgo right here. Mm-hmm. It's got a hole in the middle with nothing in it unless...
You look it up.
Look it up in the light.
It is.
And there it is. Beat Takeshi hosted the crazy television program.
He's on the money?
I think so.
He's on the money.
He looks a bit more old-timey and he has a mustache, but I'm pretty sure that's him.
Okay.
So what do we got in this box here?
Oh, God.
Okay. Look at this. This young woman has not only sent us stuff, she sent us a guide to the stuff attached.
How you eat it.
To each one. So, for example, take this. Now, you would say, what's that? A crazy pretzel squiggle. That's like Little Monk Boy's crazy pretzel squiggles.
There's a tiny monk boy with a multicolored cap.
Now, what it is...
Again, was not expecting to see an animated person on that.
Yeah, this is... What are they...
So weird.
Now, it's, just to be
so
clear...
not Japanese.
What this is a packaged mask snack. So, packaged mask snack right here.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
All right, I'll take that. I'll take that.
When you're burglarizing a home and you get hungry in the middle,
yeah.
You take out your packaged mask snack.
There we go. What do we got here?
It's more popular than the unpackaged mask snack.
No, that actually was a promotional item that was given out during, they just released the movie, The Rocky Dennis Story in Japan. And so that is a promotional item that went along with the release of that movie on DVD.
I don't know what that movie is, but
mask?
I would have... Oh. Okay.
We got Cola Up.
Cola Up.
Who wants Cola Up?
I'll take it. Okay. Yeah. My cola's up.
Your cola's been down.
My cola's been down.
Did you talk to your doctor about
my
that?
My cola count is down.
Yeah. It sounds like a stat in Dungeons and Dragons.
I take that back. My good cola's down. My bad cola's up. So I need to
I have to get a colonoscopy later today.
We have a canister here.
Am I going to eat this right now? This is a gummy.
Yeah.
Eat it.
It's a Cola Up.
It's a Cola Up.
How is it? Don't chew on microphone. They hate it when we chew on microphone.
Nah, chew on mic. Yeah, chew on mic.
Can I try your? Can I try your mask?
I have to eat packaged mask.
It's carbonate. How did they make this gummy thing carbonated?
Wait, is it really carbonated?
Try it.
Okay.
These are good. These are like
It gives you the illusion of being carbonated a little, right?
That's outrageous.
That's ridiculous. Unbelievable.
Okay, packaged mask snack is kind of like those. Onion things that your mom would crumble on green bean casserole.
Oh, okay. Are you from the Midwest?
No, my mom's from the South. I don't know if that's not the same thing. But she makes a lot of casseroles.
Not at all.
Woman makes a lot of casseroles.
Hot dish in Minneapolis.
Hot dish in Minneapolis. Minnesota.
Does anybody want to try this packaged mask snack?
Okay, I'm sorry, I can't hear you through the fizziness of my gelled cola up.
Here. Okay, now she sent us something called Black Black. Now, if you're wondering about Black Black, mm-hmm. it does have high technical, excellent taste and flavor.
Okay.
So, as she describes it, Black Black is evil, coated in mint, and flavored with licorice.
I think America is finally ready for Black Black.
It does have a pop top.
It's 2009.
Yeah. Do you think we can get
America
this pop?
What is this stuff?
The mascot of Cola Up.
This is the
looks
Japanese.
Like he's upset.
This is the Japanese version of a LeChoy Chinese noodle.
I've got good news, you guys. This Black Black does come with free Post-it notes.
Thank you.
It has some Post-it notes inside it.
In case you, I'm always thinking about my to-do list when I'm eating my Black Black.
In case you want to put a Post-it note on the Black Black to remind yourself not to eat it.
Yeah. And it's pretty foul.
This is so. This is really good. Would be great on a salad.
Oh, also, I don't think anyone's pointed out, I mean, maybe this is juvenile of me, but cola up is dick-shaped. They're tiny, tiny, but fizzy dicks that you eat.
So is Japan when you actually look at the country.
That's...
Oh, then I'll take this package mask snack
okay,
back.
Now, what else have we got here?
I am so
that
happy
black
that
black was pretty foul. It's really cleared my nasal passages.
I love that.
Package mask snack. You want to finish this up? You want to kill
it.
These?
I'll finish it.
Don't get snack on me here.
Mm-mm.
Oh, great news.
Mm.
Randy, I think this one's going to be for you.
Yeah, sure.
It's a little Kit Kat banana.
Ugh.
I know that you love little Kit Kat banana. Lightly scattered chocolate and break is the thing here. Use banana. She's translated some of the Japanese phrases on here.
Those are all of my favorite things wrapped up into one.
Use banana perfume. That's what it says.
Use banana perfume.
And it also says the illustration is an image.
Here's what I love about... so I'll go out, you know, as I'm prone to do, go out in Hollywood.
Sure. Go to a cool party.
Go to a cool party. Maybe encounter someone. Even though I'm married, I would never cheat.
Like
on my
just
wife.
Like a whore.
But there's nothing wrong with encountering
new people. Yeah. And someone will come up to me and just lightly right behind my neck be like, "What is that you're wearing? Is that banana?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is. It's actually banana perfume because that's what you wear to a Hollywood party."
Kit Kat
banana.
She sent us some Pokemon rice toppings, so that's good.
Okay.
All
almost
right.
As good as the Pokemon rice droppings.
Will you please look at this? This is a globule ball.
Yeah, the Kit Kat is obviously...
Amazing. Amazing. Like, there is no... One of the greatest things I've ever had in my entire life.
Yep.
Get in there.
This dude... I want to do...
Obscene. Give him some.
These are insane. I'm not giving you any more of these. These are incredible.
These are ridiculous.
Oh, wow. It's like...
That is
it's like
good.
Banana pudding with Nilla wafer
in it. It's literally like they took a Kit Kat and they're like, we're going to now make it awesomer.
Yeah.
That's good.
Speaking of kind
like
of
good banana thing.
Midwest-y dishes. Yeah.
I polished these.
Man, yeah.
Mask.
Very good.
Mask is history.
And I love how they're like little banana. Like we wouldn't believe it if it were a big banana, like a regular size banana.
It was magnificent scissors. Love on the message board. She sends us her best wishes.
That's
along
great.
With
thank
these.
You very much.
Fantastic.
These are unbelievable. The banana Kit Kat is like...
Very, yeah, very
you
got to
bring that over
very
here.
Very tasty. Yeah, America would go nuts for this. Oh, you know, there's only a couple of gas stations that have them anymore, but there was a banana Reese's peanut butter cup
what?
For a while that had a picture of Elvis on it.
What are you what? Talking about?
It was
about?
The Elvis commemorative banana Reese's peanut butter cup.
Shut your mouth.
Delicious.
Because he loves a peanut butter and
delicious.
Banana sandwich.
That's right. He did eat a peanut butter banana sandwich on the toilet.
Do you guys mind if I have a... you guys can talk while I have a wizard boy?
What if I told you I did mind? What if I told you that was...
Yeah, please. I would consider
what
it
what is it?
They're very chewy.
And by half a wizard boy, he means blow Daniel Radcliffe.
Boom.
Nice.
Gryffindor!
All right.
Don't do that. Seriously, do not do that. It's my show.
But
don't
guys, feel... I mean, feel...
Feel free to... Give me a wizard.
I was going to say, feel flattered because Daniel Radcliffe is here and we're not having him as the guest. Mm-mm. Jesse's just filleting him. You guys are on mic. Daniel Radcliffe is just getting...
He's got nothing to add to...
It's like, okay, see, of course you did Equus. Like, you want everyone to know you grew up. Everyone, just relax.
Yeah. You don't have to get filleted on a podcast.
I love how, like, how... White and Anglo, the wizard boy is.
Yeah, wizard boy has big, big blue eyes and Jordan. Giant breasts for some reason. He doesn't.
Good news, Jordan.
They're supple breasts.
She sent us something called umai, which means yummy. And this is red umai.
Wizard boy
is Japanese Skittles.
I just want you to know that this is an octopus sunrise flavor stick.
Oh, boy. Am I going to have to eat this?
Yeah. Okay. Jordan has to eat the octopus sunrise flavor.
Okay, this looks like... Okay, this is a tubular thing that looks like it might have bits of octopus in it.
I'm going to try this
one. I hear octopus sunrise flavor stick, and my mind immediately goes to all-you-can-eat shrimp at Red Lobster.
I've got a walleye pollock stick. Which one... I'm going to give you guys... what do we got here? Oh, corn porridge. That sounds like a good one.
Mm-hmm.
How come you guys get corn porridge?
All right.
Here, you have a corn porridge.
Okay. Octopus stick going in the mouth.
Okay.
Oh, God!
Not the consistency I thought it was going to be.
No, I don't want to eat any more of this.
It's like, let me rub some fish on styrofoam.
Yeah, and there's like a, yeah, it's a comp. This thing is a crunchy piece of styrofoam that you tastes said, like.
You know, you said corn. Like, you said corn porridge. It's corn potage.
Oh, excuse me.
This tastes like fish and ketchup. I'm gonna try a this fish ketchup.
This
bar.
One is a Pollock. This one is Pollock.
Oh God, bad aftertaste.
So that one's a Pollock. So it gets drunk and then neglects its wife.
Yeah.
What is
Pollock kind of?
This doesn't even tell you what Pollock. It is. This doesn't even tell you what it is.
It's got a big middle finger on it.
It's just like.
I mean, the corn potage.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat any more of these crunch sticks. No,
the corn potage is fine. I mean, it just has a small hint of octopus.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
All right, come on.
Corn potage is fine.
Keep them coming. We're done?
We're done.
You can't be done. There's
We're
more.
We're done. Did you try the black black yet? Here,
no,
have
I have
some
not.
Black black.
I need some
clear
black
your sinuses.
Black.
After your, no. Black black is.
Try that.
Black black is licorice, is it not?
It's like a Stimerol gum.
And I know I didn't really give it the hard sell, but would anyone else like to try this octopus bar? No. I can't imagine.
Absolutely
you
not.
It's really disgusting.
Corn potage is kind of good.
The best part about the black black is after you chew it, you can use it to grout your bathroom.
That's a visual joke. It means nothing.
Why?
To
grouting your bathroom? Black black. Yeah.
Come on.
Of course.
If you had gray Subway tile.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good point.
Boom.
That's a good point. Anyway.
Black black doesn't know if it wants to be gum or not.
Do you think that I can put this in the bank? Do you think if I take this to the bank, they'll let me put it in the bank, this money?
No. It's Japanese.
Okay.
Don't you have an account at Bank of Japan?
I do. I'll mail it in.
Osaka, Fargo.
We should just take a second to chew on microphone. Everybody chew on microphone.
Sorry.
Make some gross noises to upset the people who chewing on microphone.
There's nothing. I'm with you. There's nothing worse. There's like these. Than the Carl's Jr. ads.
Oh,
where it's
God.
Like, oh, the one where don't bother me. I'm eating.
And it doesn't get all over your space.
It's not all
Show
over
it in your
face.
That is what it is. If it doesn't get all over your space, it's not.
I feel
over
like
your
that
face.
Commercial is actively calling me stupid. Like I feel like that commercial like is
well,
pointing
that,
at
but
me.
The, but they went on a campaign to try and like take down restaurants.
Take down restaurants, like.
Isn't it way worse to be at a restaurant than like at a Carl's Jr.?
Oh yeah, like where they serve Carl's Jr. food at a restaurant and then go, "Gotcha!"
No, that was Pizza Hut.
When they're spraying, like they're cleaning the countertops.
Like cleaning the countertops. That was like a bad one.
Like that's the worst. That's the worst thing.
Yeah, I hate it when food places are cleanly. I hate it when they've got an A on the front when you walk in there.
Yeah.
By the way, I have 17 pieces of black black in my mouth right now.
Black.
And I honestly, I think I just saw Black Jesus.
I when I was in Japan as like a 12, 13 year old, I saw a television commercial for Black Black. It was one of the only things I understood while I was in Japan. Mm-hmm. It's a land of wonders. It was a man napping on a subway train. Mm-hmm. He ate some Black Black and went apeshit. Uh-huh. So I'm guessing that you're going to go apeshit pretty soon.
I am ready.
Here's what it says on the Black Black. High technical, excellent taste and flavor.
He had mentioned that technical. Before.
Yeah.
I like that. And I also like the fact that it's sugarless. Did you mention that too?
It is a sugar. It is the sugar-free version of Black Black.
Well, look.
I like that it's technical. It kind of implies that, well, if you're not enjoying it, you just don't understand.
Well, here's the best part of all these Japanese lettering and words right here. There's 118.7 grams of something. I don't know what it is. But I'm gonna say flavor.
But because it is technical, if it does win an Oscar, it won't win it.
It won't win on the first day. It'll win it on the.
Right. Don't do it on that.
Jenna Elfman will present it with its Oscar. Yeah. At the Beverly Hills Hilton.
That's right.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Oh, great.
Are you really a boy? You are the boy detective.
Yes. Yes,
I You know
am.
What?
That's just a nickname. It doesn't really mean anything.
Randy, I'm not going to, number one,
Cut
I'm
from
not going to have you
I'm just asking.
Questioning just the credibility asking. Of my co-host.
Wait a minute.
My friend.
Wait a minute. No, I actually am going to stop you right now because you brought up the whole penguin in the pants thing, which made me put me on edge to want to question all authority. Yeah. So I think it's only right that I say to you, cut from the cloth of an Encyclopedia Brown or a Hardy Boys, or are you are you creating your own thing?
Kind of a late period boxcar child.
So
I prefer to say.
Have you hit puberty yet or not?
No, I haven't.
Okay, good.
It's on the horizon, though.
That's great that you have not hit puberty because you can actually focus on solving mysteries and crimes rather than you're changing body.
Let me just interject here.
And I'll probably have to stop wearing these short pants.
It's about Black.
Don't you dare.
I know for a fact.
I'm going to say it's gum.
I know for a fact that Black is black. You know how I know that?
How?
Because, Randy, you have a gross piece of ABC Black.
I've got Black
on your
black
finger.
Which is why.
Every point that you have just made in the past 5 minutes of this program, you have punctuated by pointing a finger
full
of chewed black gum on it.
If I were a martial artist, which I am not, which by the way,
granted,
you did not even mention the martial artists who could send their artists in, like a free kick to kick to the solar plexus.
Like a new move.
If I were a martial artist,
right,
my next movie, Fistful of Black. Done. I mean, if that's not... starring
if
me,
that's not what,
me and my,
if that's
and
not
Carl
what,
Michael just, Clark just, Duncan.
If that's just, not already just, in production, then why isn't it?
Just me, gonna put this out there.
It's you.
People may think it's porno.
No, Fistful of Black could be porno. But what if I said it was me, Michael Clark Duncan, and Michael Winslow, the guy who did all the sound effects? And so everything Michael Clark Duncan does, Michael Winslow attempts to do a sound effect to.
What are you
when
doing
it's not
during
needed
all this?
I'm sort of orchestrating the whole thing.
He's the one with the gum on his finger. Right. The gross chewed gum on his finger.
It takes 12 years to get black out of your system.
It really does. If you swallow a piece of black,
it's in you forever.
And it actually has spiders in it, so the spiders come out.
They release.
Yeah.
Fistful of black.
I had to ask you guys a question. This is a serious question. This isn't for you, Jordan.
Okay. Can I check out?
You can do what you want to do.
Check out.
I'm happy to have the Sklar brothers here for a lot of reasons. Obviously, they're accomplished and hilarious. They have a delightful internet web series, of course. We always look for that in a guest. But more than that, I just have been looking for a guest to whom I could ask this question. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer, Scotty Gereltz, Don Caveman Robinson, or Rick Big Daddy Rushell? Mm-hmm. So the choices are Scotty Gereltz, Don Caveman Robinson, or
Robinson.
Rick Big Daddy Rushell.
Rushell all the way.
I would add Rick Roden to that list.
Okay,
the man whose left leg was longer than his right.
Before
and I would still pick Rick Rushell. Because Rick Rushell looked like the guy, literally he could throw an inning and then yell at people to get off his lawn. He kind of had that look.
Just to interject, I know you guys are on a roll and you could probably get rolling on this topic.
Sure.
But before I get too disappointed and check out entirely, there's chance you guys would want to talk about the Street Fighter games after this.
Let's
would
do
you?
It. Let's talk about
great
it.
Great. All right, continue. I'll just wait for that.
Jordan just wants to talk about a Sega Genesis game called Herzog Zwei. I don't know what Herzog Zwei is.
Well, Whitey Herzog was the mastermind of the Cardinals and the mastermind of small ball. So I imagine that Herzog Zwei.
You
want to
talk about it's a Vince Coleman thing, right, Jordan? It's mostly Vince Coleman stuff.
Let's go deep. The other night I watched a phenomenal documentary called Burden of Dreams about Werner Herzog.
Okay.
Don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, sure.
A young Werner Herzog who, to me, looked like a mustachioed Michael Blyden. If you will. Michael Blyden, who directed Back on Top of the Series, a phenomenal director. But he looked like that, and he was in the jungle of the Amazon trying to make a movie called Fitzcarraldo.
With Klaus Kinski, right?
Klaus Kinski was not initially the person who was – it was initially Jason Robards and Mick Jagger, and they actually shot some stuff, but then had problems with the local Indians who were down there. They didn't want them there.
They like the Beatles.
That's right.
They were not.
It's an amazing movie, a Sisyphusian tale, if you will, of this guy who tried to move a boat, basically portage corn portage a boat over a like, and I'm not talking about a boat. I'm talking about like a three-story, several metric ton boat over like a large area to put it into a different tributary. And it was all about how he created this system to do it. And in the movie, Werner Herzog attempted to take a boat, a gigantic boat, and do it at the risk of putting people's lives at risk. And it was about a 6-year process of making a movie. And this documented that.
They kill actual monkeys in that movie, and you see it.
In Werner Herzog's? In the Burden of...
Or in that movie he's making.
Oh. I don't know. They didn't show any of that.
They do it in the Sega Genesis version of the game.
Oh, okay.
Of the movie.
Of Herzog 5.
Herzog.
Did you know that Werner Herzog ate a shoe? Can I throw that in there?
Did he really?
Yeah, he ate a shoe. He said something. He had an argument with the documentarian Errol Morris on some subject that I cannot remember.
Right.
Said, if such and such comes true, I will eat my shoe.
And he ate it.
And he ate that shit in front of a live paying audience.
Here's what I would say. I believe that. After seeing his conviction and staying in the jungle as long as he did to try and get this boat up and over against all odds, and I see him eating a shoe.
As long as we're talking about German themes in cinema.
Yeah, sure. That is the subject.
I want to briefly touch on the Valkyrie with Tom Cruise.
Okay, go for it.
Ray and I were talking about this. How bad is Tom Cruise's image? And how much do these people have to say, okay, what's the only way we can get, America and the world behind Tom Cruise again?
He has to try and kill Hitler.
That's it.
That's the only way can actually repair this man's
image.
And
even that isn't enough. But I was watching on, I don't know why I had Fox. Why did I have Fox?
Morning show.
It wasn't Fox News. It was the morning show.
So Fox and Friends?
Fox and Friends.
Sure.
So friendly.
Two not really hot girls, but quickly, if you look at them, they're kind of attractive, and an old guy. That's what I also
call
the show.
Like, if you're like a 50-year-old dad who the best part of his year is going to the boat show, then you find the ladies on Fox News hot.
If you have on your TiVo seasons pass the Housewives of Orange County,
you will
find them attractive. And so they were promoting, I think they were talking about the Valkyrie. They were going to do a segment on it coming up about how it had mixed reviews and they weren't sure if it was going to do well in the box office. And they used one of those horrible news puns underneath the thing.
Right, sure, under the graphic.
Yes, and it said, I think it was does the Valkyrie have the Reich stuff?
The Reich stuff? And they didn't even get the right movie. If you want to do a Tom Cruise movie, does the Valkyrie have all the Reich moves?
Yeah.
That would have been the movie to...
But of course, Randy and I were just thinking it was ridiculous because we're like, why?
You might as well...
You can't do that pun with Holocaust stuff.
You might as well have said, basically, if you're doing that, you might as well have said all the right Jews. Right. Like, it's basically the same joke and about as offensive.
Is the Valkyrie the final solution to a weekend full of doldrums? Yeah.
Will the trains run on time to screenings of the Valkyrie?
I saw the Valkyrie, and frankly, I loved it.
Will you enjoy the Valkyrie, or will you wish that someone was making your skin into a lamp?
Yeah.
Nope.
Will it be a Hitler?
It was so territory that you shouldn't go, but Fox.
I imagine the meeting when making that film was something like this. The Tom Cruise obviously has handlers. He's a major film star.
Sure.
They came to him and said, as you guys conjectured, we need to rehabilitate your image. You're going to have to try and kill Hitler.
That's right.
And Tom Cruise said, yeah, and I'll be a Nazi.
And I'll do it from the inside.
Wait a minute.
And I'll have an eye patch.
No.
But I won't even try and speak with a German accent, just my regular voice.
Okay, now we're getting a little closer, but I would say lose the eye patch. No, people can't believe people in eye patches.
And they just got fixated on the eye patch, ended up losing that battle with Tom.
It's like
the movie like the objective in the movie just didn't fully hit the mark. You know what I mean? It was like the movie was a metaphor for what? I don't know. It's Werner Herzog pulling a boat over a giant hill.
Is that the metaphor? Have you seen a video on the internet of Werner Herzog getting shot while he's being interviewed? That's something.
I do want to talk about finding stuff on the internet because this I watched a screener version of Frost Nixon, which I freaking loved. I love that. It was such a good movie, and God bless Ronnie Howard. Always putting his brother in there. Always putting his brother in the movies.
Oh, is Clint in this one too?
He is. So, wow. Phenomenal movie. Phenomenal movie. Like, really, for all the storytelling aspects and great performances, and Frank Langella was just genius. But afterwards, my wife and I went to YouTube and started to download the actual interview from the actual David Frost and, sure. And Richard Nixon. And that was really cool to see after what you kind of saw they had portrayed it. Really cool. And then I was like, I want to find out more about David Frost. Like, I want to see more of his interviews and stuff. And I saw an interview that he did with Yoko Ono and John Lennon on, like, a show that he was doing. And then there was an angry interchange. It was the title. It was, like, angry interchange between Yoko and John. And they sang a song called Attica State. And these two Square fans came down and were kind of talking about how, like, you can't glorify prisoners like that. Anyway, it was a back and forth. Below that, as YouTube likes to group its videos, was a number of angry exchanges between things. So I found this was the best.
It wasn't John Lennon even, Beatles footage.
No, it was.
You didn't even realize that you were an angry exchange video enthusiast.
I am now. After this video, I saw the video
to me,
I made him watch it. It to me is the reason why the internet was invented. Like, for without a doubt, at least YouTube, it was a video of Paul Stanley of Kiss yelling at a fan in the eighth row who was using a laser, like a handheld laser pointer, like just putting it on him. So Paul Stanley at this concert, I don't know where it was a huge arena concert. They finished, like, it was basically Peter Criss was singing Beth, and he finished Beth, which is this, you know, if you don't know what Beth is, it's this slower Kiss song, more of a ballad. Probably the most famous song, biggest chart topper.
Famous ballad, yeah.
And Paul Stanley's like, it finishes up. Peter Criss is like, thank you. And then Paul Stanley's like, the lights are out. And he's like, all right, where's the schmuck with the laser? And he starts talking to the guy of the laser like he's some, like a Long Island housewife, like telling the, where's the schmuck with the laser? Hey, you there with the laser. Listen to me. Listen to me. You with the laser. You take that laser out again, I will shove it up your ass. I promise. I will shove it up your ass. And like, it got so uncomfortable. The whole crowd is uncomfortable. He's like, no, see, get that guy with the laser right there. Now, clearly, if you're in a stadium or in a huge thing, no one from up top can see the laser that was being – it was clearly in his head. Like, don't go there. As a performer on stage, you get heckled and you just – there are times when you're going to ignore it and times when you don't. He would not let it go.
One good time to ignore it is when you're playing a stadium.
Exactly. No one could see that. So he's like –
and there's probably a laser show going on.
Where's the schmuck with the laser? Hey, you schmuck, put the laser away or I'll shove it up your ass. He sounds so kind of like this nerdy. And then there's really two things. One, while he's having this whole diatribe.
Wait,
on this
hold
guy,
on. Are you telling me I'm as surprised by this as you were surprised by the weird Japanese TV shows that the members of KISS are actually nerdy?
Well, here's the thing.
No, hold on. Because number one, no nerd would ever design a superhero-esque outfit.
Exactly.
For himself.
But he sounded so, not nerdy, but just kind of it was more nebbishy. I know the two kind of blur the line there, but he was so nebbishy sounding. Literally, he was standing in like chaps and like a wrestling champion belt, no shirt, and he's like reprimanding some guy
for
later.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Alan Sherman?
No, it has nothing to do with Hello Mata, Hello Fada. No, he's yelling at the guy Ace Frehley, and this is clearly when the band was like a little more out of shape, who's in his like spacesuit, kind of meanders behind him. He looks like a baked potato on the top of two French fry legs, just kind of wobbling behind him, like just out of frame.
Can I ask you from this point forth that all your metaphors be potato
food? Yes, they will.
At least starchy. Just at least
you mean starchy. A potato potage of sorts.
Exactly.
So then the best part about the whole thing is after this whole awkward situation
it's
is there.
So quiet.
So awkward. I'm like, how is he going to dig himself out of this? Paul Stanley goes to the mic after being like, I'll take the laser. I'll shove it up your ass. That laser, I'll take it and I'll shove
it.
You're just a little boy. You're a little boy.
You think you're shaving and you're
– you can shave, but you're just a little boy. All right. After all that, he's like –
not even a cut down.
He kind of is like, all right, now the rest of you, who wants to go to Detroit Rock City? You're like, I can't believe.
And no one's – I mean, it's rare.
No one was with him. It was so uncomfortable, and I kind of was
and
like –
and then you heard the sound of him putting his guitar back over his shoulder.
Yeah, the little – it literally sounds you should never hear.
Jesus Christ. Something, I don't know Speaking if this is showing up on the microphone.
It is. It has to be showing
this
up.
This has to show up on the microphone.
What anyway, maybe it's Paul Stanley.
It's just a nightmare is occurring inside the walls of my building, apparently.
I think it's Paul Stanley trying to claw his way back up here. But if you get a chance, for those who are listening, please check out Paul Stanley getting angry at a man with
We'll
a
post it up. We'll find it on the YouTube. We'll post it up on the God discussion
damn,
forum.
Damn, it's so funny.
That's the power of the internet. That's the beauty and the magic of the internet. You can find something that's so beautiful
Yes.
and share it with all your friends.
Yes. And it's not – because I feel like a lot of times the internet for people is like a guy sticking his hand up a horse's ass and like really, really – Or like super, super people getting
like stuff with like really limited amount of outfits. Is that what you're suggesting?
Exactly. Not the same glitter factor. No, but I mean just the simpleness of that, the grossness or the grotesque. But to me, this was like far more beautiful.
Because it's sort of like if you had asked any of us in 1991, 1992, what will the internet be for? We would say lasers.
Yes.
Right?
Lasers. Loads of them.
It turns out we were right. We're futurologists, if you will.
We were. In 91, we're futurologists.
Would any of you guys like to be a futurologist?
I'm down.
Okay. I'm already an Imagineer.
If my futurology includes loads and loads of black, yes, I will be a futurologist.
Don't be such a spud. No, that's not anything. It was such a half-assed attempt at saying something
potato.
About a potato.
Spud Webb reference?
Sure. Okay. Great. It was a Spud Webb reference. It was a reference to his that one time he won the slam dunk championship.
I love that you bring that up because we are about to do a video with Rudy Gay
for the internet
viral Rudy Gay last year who is on the Memphis Grizzlies. Young guy played at UConn. Very talented. Like great high flying player. Like 6'6" swingman type guy who was in the slam dunk contest last year and gained notoriety by posting a video of him basically asking fans to post their favorite dunks and he would pick his favorite one and then he would do that in the slam dunk contest. It was kind of a use of the internet in a viral
Sure,
way.
Very creative.
So he did a little thing on Back on Tops in our web series. He was in the 15th episode in DC that we had and was so funny and great and just rolled with it and just a really nice kid. And so he wanted to do, he's in the
Sounds slam. Like a good kid.
He is. He's a good kid. He wanted to do the slam dunk contest again and wanted to do another video. And so
it's like the kind of, when you have a mother, you know, you just imagine, hopefully one day my kid will be high flying.
Yes.
That's right.
And he's not
that. And he'll roll with it.
Or he can be cool enough to make up for his unfortunate last name.
That's right.
Which is a tough one to overcome. That but is he tough. Has. And he has. How he did
it. Yeah, basically professional basketball players, all you can do to like out cool that, you know?
Well, yeah. And I'm sure within the community of professional athletes, they're very, very tolerant of the gay culture.
Yeah, very sensitive to that.
Very yes, sensitive. Yes.
Especially in Memphis. I mean, not everywhere, not all around the
Memphis
country.
Memphis is about as progressive as you can get.
Place. Yeah, it is.
Particularly. So he, nonetheless, he wants to do a video. So we're going to do a video with him that we're about to go do. Speaking of slam dunk contests. Mm. Promoting what type of dunk that he is going to do, and it's us pitching him a bunch of ridiculous ideas of him dunking a baby that yeah. used to be an old man but is aging backwards just so when he is done dunking, he can look at the crowd and be like, yeah, what's up? You just got your Benjamin Button kicked.
Boom.
Boom.
I like it.
Boom.
Taste it.
Didn't it seem like – did you guys see
sponsor,
the – did you
Can
guys
we get this thing – can we get our video sponsored by Black Black?
Could he snap after he says it? Like,
yeah, he could. Two snaps. Like a Jack A, three snaps, up, over, and down.
What it was? It was octopus flavored. What was it one more time?
So I think it was called Octopus Nightmare.
No, yeah. It was Octopus Sunshine
Styrofoam
flavor. Give me the title.
Ketchup.
Again.
Octopus Night Terror.
No, it was Octopus
Walleye Pollock.
Walleye Pollock.
Octopus Sunrise flavor.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Mm. I think to simulate sunrise, what they added was ketchup.
Black and the Octopus Sunrise Flavor Force.
Sure.
To me, should be a
Is comic. That your web series?
That's my next comic
book. It's our next Adult Swim show.
Mm-hmm. Spud Webb and what's his name, Gay, from the Memphis
Rudy
Grizzlies?
Gay. Rudy Gay and Spud Webb.
Sure. I
and
love it.
Brian Scalabrine as Black.
It's solid gold.
Yeah, it is.
We're making hits here, Jordan.
Sure.
We are making fucking hits.
Don't steal our ideas, listeners.
We're making history.
We got the Sklar brothers here. They're spitballing. We got you here. We got the potato metaphors. We got a story about Kiss. This is special.
Mm-hmm. This is
something that you can hold not just in your hands, but also in your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Randy and Jason Sklar, the black and octopus flavor sunshine of the unit.
Of comedy. of
I've now unit, considered ourselves
a unit. TV show, The Unit.
You've got, basically, I've got David Haysbert running this whole show. And the two of us.
Sean Ryan is scripting everything,
That we do.
Mammoth pops in every once in a while.
Every so often, Mammoth shows up to swear at people.
Yeah. I believe it's Mammay, and I'm sorry. I don't want to pull rank on you guys.
Mammay comes in to offer his brand of Republican politics.
Jordan,
yes.
Something that we've talked about in the past on the show that I've really enjoyed is a tale of a time when we shared a joke in a public context that went over very poorly. You had a very complicated joke you once told about James Cameron's submarine. Mm-hmm. No one understood the reference to his 3D underwater film, which he spent most of the years after Titanic making.
Yeah.
It would have
been funnier if you used James Cameron Mitchell. James.
His submarine.
His submarine
was a giant
goes way deep. Yeah. Way deep.
Mm. So deep it put your butt to sleep.
So...
That's an ice cube reference.
Did you think you said it as though if you said it real quick, no one would notice who said it?
I messed around and got a triple double.
Yeah, sure.
Gotta say it was a good day.
Yep. Anyways, we like to share jokes.
Sure.
That didn't go over well. And then maybe we can figure out where
we went wrong. Like what happened in the course of it. For example,
let's break it down.
Did Mama serve a breakfast with Hog? And that's what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. You know what I mean? Anything could go wrong in one of these.
Sure.
I too can play that game, Sklar.
There you go.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Okay, here's mine. So I was home for... There's some gesturing.
I'm doing
so. I was giving it up for the mama served breakfast with Hog.
Jesse cool just points. Flashed a Northwest gang sign.
It had something to do with the Pacific Northwest Indians.
It's somewhere the Orcas Island sign.
Kind of a, yeah.
Native
kind of
Americans.
Anyways, I was home for the holidays in Orange County is where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a couple of
beautiful Mission Viejo, California.
Overlooking
the lake,
scenic lake, man-made Lake Mission Viejo. Mm-hmm. Yes,
lovely.
Yeah, do you know Lake Mission Viejo?
We do.
Okay, I used to, in the summers between college years, I worked at the gate in the booth opening the arm for cars to come in. So.
His job was to make sure that no one was Latino that wanted to come in.
Sure.
One question: who owns the movie rights to that story?
Wow. You better mail that. Mail that to yourself.
Right? Yeah. No, I know.
These guys have met Brian Grazer. So
yeah,
Michael Eisner.
He's in culture class. His hair was
really nice. Go ahead.
I can't decide whether I want it to be a feature or like an HBO mini.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's meaty.
Yeah. The feature, like, I'll get more money for, but the HBO mini, I feel like I'll have more time to kind of do it justice.
You could cast like a Laura Linney.
Yeah.
You should, somebody who's really gifted.
Give it some depth.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't have to throw a Jessica Alba or an Odette Yussman in there.
You do not have to, although throwing it in would not be a bad idea.
There's nothing wrong with throwing in a Yussman.
I like to routinely throw in a Yussman just to spice things up. Even when I'm making it, just a light salad, throw in a little Yussman on top.
Just needs a little Alba.
What I like to do is after I put the dressing on, I grate a little Alba.
Here's the thing: you'll save money by grating your own. If you get the prepackaged thing at Trader Joe's, I'll tell you the truth.
I use kosher Yussman.
You do,
because it's flaky. And it gives you a burst of flavor.
Yes, and if instead of croutons, Alba toast.
No!
Delicious.
The kosher Yussman is killed rather humanely.
Sure. It dies of old age.
Yes.
Jordan?
Anyways, I have a couple of high school buddies who I routinely keep in touch with, and when I go back to visit my parents, try and party, have a drink, hang out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
These are some top quality high school buddies. They're everything you'd hope for in a high school buddy.
Absolutely.
They're there when you need them.
Yes. And so we found out that a high school acquaintance was throwing a party and that a bunch of people we kind of knew from high school were going to be there. So we thought it'd be fun. We go catch up. This guy was, you know, historically threw pretty good parties. So mm-hmm.
Track record.
Yeah.
Track record.
Absolutely.
In line.
Anyway, so I was there.
Do you think you were figuring this guy's probably going to score you some beer?
Yeah, he was. Score me some
but
beer.
Now, if you were to throw that party this weekend, you would be asking yourself, what's the penguin in the pants here?
Yeah.
It's going to be like all dudes. That's the penguin in the pants. All right.
The quality of party was good. Very good party.
Great.
Good buds. Good tunes.
Sure.
Anyway, so – but there was a lot of those instances where I, you know, kind of knew someone or knew someone's brother or sister and was kind of in a lot of situations to make just kind of awkward, what have you been up to type like small talk.
You meet somebody. They work for Fuse. You work for Fuel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Sure.
A little off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One letter off.
What are you guys doing for CES, I'll say.
Yeah. What's your gadget guy going to be like?
Anyway, so I was in one of these situations, just a girl who maybe, yeah, just kind of a friend situation. And she's, what have you been up to? And I kind of explain. I'm like, so what have you been up to? And she kind of gives this long sigh. And she was like, well, I mean, I still live here and I'm up to pretty much the same stuff I was when I was in high school. And I said, oh, so you're doing a lot of math problems and book reports.
Boom.
Boom.
You would think so.
He's right there.
You would think so.
He's right there.
It was that quick, too. But no, I just kind of got – she just kind of glanced at the floor and kind of shuffled off.
Maybe she is. Maybe she is doing a lot of
– it was all too truthful. Instead of math problems, you're doing a lot.
You're going through puberty.
Oh, yeah. You're becoming a woman?
You're becoming a woman. You're doing this pretty much the same thing, so you're getting your period for the first time? Boom.
A lot of hand jobs and wine coolers?
Boom.
A lot of, you know what? Jobs and wine coolers. That pretty much, that'll...
That's a little edgy.
You really dropped the gate arm on that one.
Wow.
Dropping the gate arm. So this is the movie. You are working the booth. You drop the gate, you drop the gate arm by day. You drop fresh rhymes at night.
Yeah.
Trying to make it in the rap game in OC. Dropping the gate arm.
After hours, all the lake employees down to the tool shed and we have beers and have freestyle contests.
Rap offs.
Jordan, you did work on Living with Fran, which was produced by Jamie Kennedy. So maybe you could bring him into this.
Sure.
It sounds like a perfect vehicle.
He's got a hip hop style.
I think he's done something in his career for some reason. I believe that because I'm an entertainment executive.
Mm-hmm. You are.
And maybe young people respond to him.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps. Young people like him because he was on the WB at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Jamie Kennedy Experience.
Anyway, I'm wondering why this joke wasn't the hit of the party. Was it A, content, which you suggested maybe some better
content?
Could
have gone edgier, yeah. Could have
gone edgier. I don't know. What was it? Was it context or was it that I guess when I've been thinking about this is like why – I guess she was kind of – maybe embarrassed,
right?
You're really
didn't.
The big sigh at the beginning should have been your indication that
yeah,
she was
maybe
ready
she
to be joked
joke
on.
The
big sort of melodramatic.
Jordan often will start a routine just as soon as he's like a single tear.
You right. Smell blood in the water.
Yeah,
then
let's
you go.
Let's
strike.
Do this.
Time to strike.
Strike hard.
You are
a quivering lip.
Yes.
And Jordan's out with the bon mots.
Yeah. And when she was leaving the party, I should have asked her if she had to go catch her bus or something like that.
Nice.
That would have really
could have asked her if it was her mom's
killing,
car.
The killing blow. Yeah, you got your mom's car tonight.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. Is your dad
still an alcoholic?
So
you just got Jordan.
Do your parents have to consent to that abortion? In this scenario, she told you that she might have to get an abortion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Always funny. Great.
These are all good options.
I hate to call it this, but. Fertile ground.
Fertile ground.
Yeah.
Fertile comedy ground. When the abortion comes up, fertile comedy ground.
Oh.
Yeah, you gotta know when to strike.
And sure.
I would say that when someone has basically, through a sigh, offered up that their dreams have crumpled.
Yeah.
maybe Jordan. You don't want to. That I'm assuming you can go for the joke, but you might not get the reaction that you want.
Gotcha.
Yes. Jordan, wasn't your other issue before walking away from people, like just disengaging?
No. This time I stayed engaged. I've had a couple instances where I've made a maybe semi mean joke and then just kind of quickly left the situation, right. Maybe before the person could respond.
The walk away.
But no, I maybe wanted to keep talking to her, but she shuffled off after I
offer a cookie or something.
She
might have helped.
Yeah, she had things to do.
Yeah,
you crushed this woman.
She had things to do.
She had sad to be elsewhere.
She had things to do, like homework.
Yeah.
See, do you hear how we're? That was
she had some track practice.
Yeah. She was building a float.
Wow.
What?
Like a homecoming float.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, arts high school.
What's a homecoming float?
Jesse didn't go to regular high school.
What's a homecoming float?
Homecoming is like
I know what homecoming is. I didn't know there was floats in
parade.
Involved.
It's like a mini
There's a parade?
There's a parade for every homecoming.
So they get they rent flatbed trucks in each class,
it's like a Rose Bowl parade. It's like a mini Rose Bowl parade, and you put chicken wire.
But there's only like, how can you even have a parade? Like, isn't there only like 1,000 people in the high school? Like, how do they?
No, it's like 4 floats usually, right? Not a huge thing of floats. It's maybe the Kiwanis Club sponsors one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Lions
marching band walks through at the front of the parade.
Yeah, marching band, and then one of the themes of the floats is the 80s.
Or we went to high school in the 80s, so
sure, yeah.
It is now. Was now, yeah.
The things that are going on currently.
This will be kitschy in some point in time.
Can't wait till this is
Your theme was novel aspects of contemporary culture.
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
Aren't our pants funny currently?
Yeah. Just a giant piano tie.
Jordan. Piano tie. Jordan, I think you're doing good. I think you're making progress because
doing well.
You made a joke.
Yeah.
You made a joke that was inappropriate, certainly. Mm. It was hurtful, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you stayed engaged. You stayed in there.
Locked eyes.
It's like that again, I don't want to say I've been watching a lot of documentaries, but I was watching one about the guy who owned those exotic cats, like he was trying to be the next like Siegfried and Roy, and he like purchased all these like really like a white tiger, but he shouldn't have had the white tiger, and so he was gay but also straight and had a relationship with the other guy who was the handler and the woman, like the three of them had like a three-way marriage.
I think it's bisexual.
Well, maybe. But
and also straight.
You're talking about the white tiger, right?
Yes, it's been contracted to the bisexual. Yeah.
Anyway, there was a point in time where the white tiger killed
a bisexual tiger.
Yes, no, yes, it is a bisexual tiger that wound up mauling and killing both the other man and the woman.
It's actually another Japanese candy, bisexual tiger.
Bisexual tiger tastes a lot like the corn sunrise. Potage.
Yeah,
corn potage.
Sunset.
And so the tiger had killed both those people and then just kind of stayed around focusing on, and that's basically what you had done.
Yeah,
you had destroyed a bisexual relationship, and
now I was just kind waiting of around.
Just stayed there with the taste of blood in your mouth.
What else can I eat?
Mm-hmm. And then the only difference was that the white tiger was put down.
Jordan, all I'm saying is I think you have a bright future, and sure,
thanks.
Looking in somebody's eyes and doing this, it just makes it worse, but it's the first step on the road to recovery. Because you're still staying in there, you're still taking your punches, mostly delivering punches to an already punch drunk opponent.
Right, that's someone who's already been punched out,
and it's a woman.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
mm-hmm. But I still would say, now granted, the woman has been worked over by her job at Kroger's,
wherever she might be. God bless her.
Cold
Stone Creamery.
I'm saying she's got a really bad leak in the roof of her rabbit convertible.
Yes, we've all been there.
She's having carburetor troubles. But, Jordan, what I'm saying is I think there's a silver lining to this cloud, which is that you're engaged, you're with it, you're there.
You stayed in there.
Yeah, and I think pretty soon you're going to be – you're not going to be making jokes at people's expense. It's going to be like Cash Cab. You're going to be making people's days brighter by asking them a trivia question, giving them money if they get it right.
Ben Bailey.
Ben Bailey, very funny comedian.
Sure. There you go, right?
Yeah.
So we're on it. This is great. I think it's great news, Sklar.
I've never been happier.
not since I had my first piece of black have I been this elated.
Which was recently.
True. But I'm just in the pantheon of history. That's
yeah. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Randy and Jason Sklar, the black of the operation.
Mm-hmm. The black I like of this it. Operation. I love it. I love it, Jordan.
I do too.
I love these.
The weird tasting, ambiguous gum candy of this operation.
I want to say I'm still chewing it, and I feel like I've lost the ability to do to do math.
Simple subtraction gone.
I feel like I've lost the ability to use consonants, like when writing.
Like I'm now gonna if you chew it for more than 2 hours, you will not be able to pee standing up. black takes away certain motor skills. Weird. Like I chewed that black for 6 hours and now I can no longer drive a stick shift.
I can't turn left in a car. I have to make 4 right turns.
It's a stroke on your senses.
The Sklar Brothers, should they recover their faculties, which not a certain but a probable, hopeful, I would say. Eventually hopeful. They're going to stop chewing the black. They're going to regain their faculties.
I got to get off this black.
You can see them on the Back on Tops web series. It's on the Fox Sports website. It's also on YouTube.
I would say YouTube is the best place to go because they literally tell you the counts of, and it's a great way to kind of see how many people have seen what you've done.
What you're trying to say is a lot of people have seen it that way.
You hope that a lot of people will see
you're just bragging.
I hope a lot of people see it.
A lot of people have seen it. It's great. It has some really great people, Brian Husky from the Naked Babies and our pal Janet Varney from the San Francisco Sketch Fest and what's that show called? Dinner and a Movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of great funny people and a lot of funny athletes.
Yes. Athletes, great athlete cameos. Dennis Rodman came on the set and sexually harassed one of our actresses, which was great. Let's use it.
Let's use that.
Baron Davis.
Baron Davis was actually really funny.
He's got a nice beard too. Handsome man with a handsome
very
beard.
Well-coiffed beard.
Careful beard.
Well-groomed.
I think all basketball players should. As soon as I saw Baron Davis, I thought, basketball players need beards. What's going on here?
Some, though, the beards are not as like... Drew Gooden had a beard that would have made Amish people upset.
This is Dwight Gooden's
character. They don't get upset about anything.
Drew Gooden is not a basketball player. He's
related to Doc Gooden at all?
Not related to Doc Gooden. Not at all. Unfortunately. No. Because if he would, he'd be bailing him out over and over.
He'll lend him a hand. They also have a compact disc of their comedy stylings available from our friends at AST Records. I don't remember what the name of it is, though. Sklar Maps. There you go. And you guys were on the Sandy Young America. We interviewed you on the Sandy Young America when that came out. So there's some clips of that in that interview there on the MaximumFun.org. There's an important Jordan action item this week.
Yes.
This is a big action item. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is something we're blowing the roof off of the world of podcasting with this. Penguin in the Pants. Let's see it. I want an expression of Penguin in the Pants. If you just want to draw a picture of a penguin in somebody's pants, that's fine.
That's taking it very literally.
But we're not expecting a literal response. It's like an acting exercise.
What? It could be a penguin in a pair of penguin wearing a pair of pants.
Exactly. Oh, that'd be cute.
Penguin in the pants.
That would be cute.
Or, it's like this.
Or penguin clothing, Munsingwear pants.
If I said my dad is a bear in the morning, would you think that I was half bear? No, you'd think my dad, when he hasn't had his coffee,
is some sort of weird gay bondage guy.
Which, by the way,
it's a hairy gay.
By the way, now that I am, well, all the things you just said, it's so funny because on many levels.
He's trying to wrap the show up. You can't really come
I don't
in
care. When we sit, we can talk about it. When we sit down and talk and when we chat, I feel very much.
Show. It's your show.
We feel very much on the same page in many ways.
Right.
And in the same social. But when you just said my dad, when he doesn't have his coffee in the morning, is a real bear, I myself am a father, and when I don't have my coffee in the morning, I'm a real bear. So I just became the object of which you talked about, which places me so far away from you, and that made me sad.
That didn't happen with the piano tie thing?
No.
I thought that was the concern with the piano tie thing.
No.
He laughed at it.
I know. It was delightful. I'm not questioning that it was delightful. It was one of the highlights of the program. I'm not going to say it was as good as the potato with French fry legs, which for me is not just a highlight of the program.
We're going to watch the clip with you.
We're going to watch the clip with you after the show, and you will be very happy.
I can't wait. So the Sklar's, you can follow up with the Sklar's. We got this amazing action item. There's two ways you can do it. We got the forum, maximumfun.org/forum. A lot of the most popular listeners, they're on the forum. A Cracksworth, for example. If you're talking about a Cracksworth or a Mafu John, those are the kind of people who you can really believe in. And they're, of course, you find them on the forum. Mm-hmm. So you can post your photos on the forum. You can send them to me. I can put them up at jesse@maximumfun.org or jjgo@maximumfun.org. Or you can, if it's something musical, you could or something like a little story you could tell, you could call it in 206-984-4FUN, the number to call. We're exploring, Jordan.
Sure.
We're fucking explorers of the mind, right?
And it should all be sponsored by Arby's. Again, 28 roast beefs, $3.
Yeah.
So as much roast beef as you want.
$3.
A Mission Viejo gate booth full of roast beef. $3.
Damn, somebody just dropped the arm on this one.
Drop it on this thing.
Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, available on Best of The Free Design, which is called Kites Are Fun on Light Love in the Attic. Right? Isn't that a wonderful
Kites
song?
Kites Are Fun is the best song.
Hilariously fantastic.
It's just fun. Glows in your heart, doesn't it?
It really does.
So good.
Light in the Attic Records is the thing. And Jordan.
Yes.
More important than anything else, we're doing a live show at San Francisco Sketch Fest, Monsters of Podcasting.
Yes.
Jordan, Jesse, go. You Look Nice Today. Two of the greatest comedy podcasts literally in history, Jordan. Mm-hmm. In history. January 25th at the Eureka Theater in San Francisco, part of the San Francisco Sketch Comedy Festival.
In the history of this young and insignificant medium, we are the most famous.
Anyway. Yeah, you know who's the most famous is like Keith and the Girl or something. We're not even anything.
Yeah, we're no Sexy French Maid podcast.
Oh,
isn't
fuck
that the most
that
famous
shit.
Podcast?
That's the most famous thing. Sexy French Maid, it's just a commercial for something, the podcast. Fuck that. Fuck that shit.
Fuck them.
Whoa.
Now I'm freaking out again.
Freaking out. We brought it full circle.
Yeah.
And not all the black in the world could have stopped that.
We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.